Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome back again, ladies and gentlemen, to this episode of the No BS Bishop. I'm Alive to Love. I believe all lesser values than love devolve into manipulation, bait and switch, all kinds of shame-based thinking and dysfunction. They become all things less than love become BS. So that's why I am the No BS Bishop. And that's why you're here, because I think you're at least curious, what's this guy going to say now? So thanks for tuning in, however you tuned in, whenever you tuned in, whatever time of day or day of the week. We're here every week with another episode of the No BS Bishop. I've been saying a lot lately in different venues how proud I am of this project. It has become something very near and dear to my heart. It's cathartic in a way, because I can bring my real self here, share with you things that are right up on the front shelf of my life, and I will do that today. There's a real sense in my mind of needing to address a hot topic in our society today, and that is the status of our mental health. The status of our mental health, in at least in the United States, that's where I'm most familiar with life and living, is right here in the culture of the good old U.S. of A. And if what I read is true, I believe it is. What I research is true, I believe it is. What I hear in some of the news sources that I have come to trust is true. I believe those are true. The status of our mental health in this nation is suffering. There's been a kind of a catch-up quality or character to what's happening in our mental health. And of course, COVID-19 and the pandemic has played a lot of pressure into that status. But I think part of it is it's a little bit like needing to be able to run away from a dangerous situation, but you haven't been exercising. And so if you feel like you got to run from some dangerous situation, but you haven't been running lately, well, it's kind of a tough time to learn how to run when you've got to run for your life. I think that applies to this. Our mental health has been neglected. We've not done a good job here in the Western world. Here in the United States, we have not done, I believe, the basics, the good exercise of caring for our mental health status. And when a pandemic showed up, the pandemic didn't cause the mental health challenges. It revealed it. It revealed our poverty of good mental health. Now, please hear that in the right context. I say that with all due respect and love for those of you listening. I'm not suggesting for 1 minute the poverty is our fault. I'm suggesting that what has been offered up as a good status for mental health in our nation has not been a good place to stand for good mental health. So I'm going to talk about that today. And how does love play into the status of our mental health? I've been back and forth on how to title today's episode. Is it the status of our mental health and love? Or is it the status of our love and mental health? Quite frankly, I've come to the conclusion that it's parts of both. The status of our mental health and love, the status of our love and mental health. It's six of one, half a dozen of the other. It's up or down or up, but it's pretty much interconnected. So I want to share with you my thoughts. And as I say here routinely, a couple of basic points to remind you of to start with. First of all, I consider myself no expert at love, but I am a pilgrim. And I have been a determined pilgrim for quite some time to explore and to know the depths, the heights, the width of love, to know that love is that which has lifted us. There's an old gospel song that says, "Love lifted me," and I believe that to be absolutely true. But if it's true, then we should explore love. for all that it's worth. I think love has been given a little bit too much of a hat tip and a cheap tip at the serving table. I think love has to be treated as it is in the promo of this broadcast, that it is the one value in life that is the value of all of life. Only love is credible, as one theologian said. Love alone, which sets us apart as the human race from all other beings on the planet. Love alone is credible. Martin Luther King Jr. said he believed that the end of all time would be summed up in unconditional love and unarmed truth. Unconditional love will sum up all of eternity. So that's where I come from, and I believe in the significance, the broad posture of love as it relates to everything in our life. Every aspect of our life has some root, some ground to stand on in love. And as it relates to mental health, that's why I'm here every week, about making sure that we are alive to love. And I say, as such, I'm a pilgrim in this. I'm not an expert. Nobody should claim any expertise on love in this world or life. We're all pilgrims, learning at different levels, climbing the mountain of love, digging deep into the depths of love. That's who I am. And I make my fair share of mistakes as it relates to love. I wish I could tell you I have never made a mistake in love, but oh my goodness, what a lie that would be. I've made plenty. The other thing I'm careful to say at the beginning of this broadcast is that I'm a pastor of almost a half a century, and in that experience, it's not a PhD per se as a diploma, but it certainly is a metaphoric PhD. I've learned a few things, shall we say, in the school of the hard knocks. I have a PhD in pastoring people and ministering to people one-on-one and in groups. So get comfortable. Let me share with you my thoughts about the status of your mental health and love, and the status of love in your mental health. First of all, it's important to remember that we are created in the image of God, that by that image, there is a mental view, an internal intellectual view of the world around us that's born in the image of God. We see things. Sometimes we wonder, why am I even looking at such a thing? I think sometimes we're looking through the eyes of God and we don't even know it. We're thinking about things through the thoughts of God and we're not even aware of it. And that's because the image of God is in us. It's at work. Now, when we deny ourselves the opportunity to really listen to that image, then we are in a place where we're frustrating our mental health. The love of God is that which holds the universe. The love of God is that which sustains all of life. The love of God is the character of God. And as I say here all the time, he who dwells in love dwells in God. He who dwells in God dwells in love. Love and God are inextricably blended and melted and melded together. The image of God in you is love. When that's frustrated, when it's been injured, when it's been self-injured or injured from the outside, that image is bruised and our mental health suffers as a result. Remember, you're created in the image of God. And sometimes your frustration is just that nature of God in you that feels the frustration of the world around you. As it relates to that, second of all, we should pay attention to how we learned love in our lifetime, how love was communicated to us as children. When we, as children, were taught that love is through deeds of compassion or good deeds, I should say. Well, then we've learned that by deeds, love is communicated. And then if we don't see deeds around us at the current time, then we're frustrated. Our love gets in a vice grip. We start to wonder, am I loved if there aren't good deeds happening toward me? And frankly, if on the other side, if we're not acting out in the good deeds of love, then we're self-frustrating in the process of the status of our mental health. Love has something to do with that. So we should pay attention. How did I learn love growing up? What were the definitions that were handed to me? And how can I improve those definitions in one way? And another way, how can I correct those definitions? And in some ways, how can I just jettison some of those definitions? Somebody told me growing up one time, if I didn't love you, I wouldn't tease you so bad. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't be always making fun of stuff you do. And that became in my little brain, my little boy brain said, oh, well, love means you're always teasing. Love means you're always making fun of somebody. And I had to jettison that nonsense. I've had to and still do in this stage of my life. I still have to remind myself, that's nonsense. That's BS. That's wrong. And I'm not going to live by that definition of love, because then my mental health suffers. Then my mental health is trapped in the quicksand of sinking if I'm not making fun of myself or being made fun of by others. So pay attention. How did you learn love growing up? How can that be healed and restored or rectified or brought to some more beautiful place in life? The next part of this is learn how to be an inspiration. Now, I want to be sure you hear this right. Learning how to be an inspiration doesn't mean you have to do some grand thing somewhere, but the first thing you should know about being inspired is to inspire yourself. Inspire yourself. Remind yourself of what you have done in love. The status of your mental health and the status of your love are so interconnected that sometimes if nobody else will inspire you, you should inspire yourself. Be mindful. Hear how I'm saying that. Fill your mind with inspiration. I know this could get crazy and overboard, and I know we could be far too attracted to taking care of ourselves to the exclusion of others. But I don't know that we can inspire anybody else if we aren't inspired. And if nobody's inspiring you, inspire yourself. It's a matter of being encouraged because you made a choice to courage up in your life, to put some courage in you by encouraging yourself with reminders of what you've done. You've not done everything wrong. You've done some things right. Make sure you keep some kind of mental checklist, if not a written checklist somewhere that tells you, I did that right. I did this well. I can be proud of myself. I can offer myself to others because I've given myself the strength to be inspired. So in that inspiration, you are being available now to inspire others. Mental health is about inspiration on some level. To be at the bottom, let's take it to the worst case scenario. If you're at the bottom of your mental health status and you're just in such a dark place, and if something comes along that is even mildly inspiring, I mean just simple as looking outside and seeing a beautiful sunset or a beautiful sunrise, or looking in your lap and recognizing your cat or your dog really does treasure you, right there. That's a split-second opportunity to be inspired. The word inspired means to put air back in, to bring the divine back into your lungs. You know, at the end of this broadcast, we're going to breathe. That's what we do every time here. I'm gonna encourage you to do that as an inspire, a breathing in the good things, as even if it's something small. Wrap your hand around it. And know that even the smallest inspiration can be a miracle if you're open to it and looking for it. Number four, remember that all love, my love, your love, God's love has been wounded. Every layer of love is a vulnerable target. Every layer of love becomes this possible injury when we put it out there. So that's why often we've said, or others have said, I'll never love again. It's too painful. And there's a lot of truth to that. There is a lot of pain in love. Love brings along with it the potential for pain, because real love is really vulnerable. real love makes itself accessible into some of the deepest thoughts of our hearts, some of the most intimate thoughts of our minds. So experiencing wounded love isn't unusual to the human condition. In fact, it is a standard experience. I'm saying that with no joy. Please hear me. I just want to say it as a statement of fact. Wounded love is the experience of God. For God so loved the world. God has loved the world from time past to time future and to the present. And all of his love, all of God's love has not yet been appreciated, shown gratitude for, or even recognized in some places. Knowing that puts us on notice, doesn't it? That's how love functions, and it can be easily wounded because to see and to have love makes us an easy target. Now, having said that, don't play the victim in that either. If everyone who has ever loved, including God, has been wounded, then we cannot afford to devolve into victimhood on a permanent basis. Now, please hear this carefully. I understand that we have all been victimized, and we should pause, feel the anger, feel the resistance to being victimized, understand that was wrong. If it was criminal, we call the authorities. If it's not criminal, at least we point it out to those who did cause the victimization. That's a truth. Stand there. Hold that. Know that. But once victimizing has happened, don't make it a lifestyle. It's one thing to become a victim. It's another thing to become a victim. You see what I'm saying there? It's one thing to have something happen that made you a victim, but don't be made into a permanent victim. Remember that. Love is an easy target, but love is worth the risk. Number five in this understanding of the status of our mental health and love is it's important to get into some kind of love rehabilitation. Be accountable to somebody you trust. Say to others what your victimized moments were. What happened there? Say it to a trusted mentor. Say it to you're the closest person in your life, a dear friend, a family member you deeply trust, and a spouse, somebody. Tell them, and be accountable in being rehabilitated. Be accountable in asking, am I holding on to less than love in my life for too long? Make sure that somebody somewhere, as a good friend of mine in Chicago, Bishop Nolan McCants, has always said, we all need somebody in our life who can look us in the eye with a smile and say, hey, my friend, you need a breath mint. That's a practical way of saying, hey, my friend, you're living in this pain a little too long. Hey, my friend, your spiritual breath is kind of bad. You got some halitosis going on there. Here's a breath mint. Here's my love. Here's my support. Here's my willingness to hang on to you through the night. Knowing that in any kind of rehabilitation, it's nearly impossible to rehabilitate ourselves. Because we really do need partnership in being rehabilitated. It's true medically, if I've injured my body some way or another and I go to physical therapy, physical rehabilitation, it's not likely I'm going to do some hard things that make me hurt a little more when I'm in physical therapy because I just don't want to do it. I don't like hurting myself. But if a therapist who has experience in making sure that ankle moves again or that knee is bending right or that arm is moving the way it ought to, physical therapist who is trusted can say, look, trust me on this. Lift that arm a little higher every time I see you. I want to see that arm go up another inch. I want to see that next week. I want to see that ankle turn a little bit more than what you've been turning it. That's why we need partnership in rehabilitation. The next level of the status of our mental health and our love or the status of our love and our mental health is that I believe in journaling. Now, I'm not a great journal expert here. I'm not somebody that you should come to and learn the finer points of journaling. But I have practiced the simplest of all journaling in my life. In fact, I'm holding in my hands right now a couple of my little journals that I refer to an awful lot. I make notes of things that inspire me. I make notes of things that I'm sad about, or I make notes about what somebody said that was so thought worthy, or I make notes of something that I said that I thought was pretty darn good, and I needed to remind myself, hey, you said that. But what I'm talking about here is journaling or poetry or sketch art. There are artistic games that you can play on your device, on your iPad, your iPhone, your computer. Those kinds of artistic expressions pull us out of the potential funk on any given moment and have us concentrate on the lilt and the rhyme and the meter of poetry, or the lilt and the beauty of contrasting colors, the significance of a good song. You know, I love music. I really do. There's not much music I haven't loved. I'm tempted to say what is most it's the most unlikely form of music for me to really enjoy, but I have found a way to enjoy almost every style of music. And what I've discovered is that in really good music, if it's good, something in me comes alive. So here's what I'm talking about in the status of our mental health and the status of our love. Looking for love requires some artistic expression, something, even if it's just to draw a stick man with a smile. Looking for love requires listening to a good song now and then, or listening to a good musical artist, and just having that sense of, we talked about inspiration a few moments ago, to be inspired. And find in that the last but not least thought about the status of our mental health and the status of our love. Give yourself a love Sabbath. Give yourself the opportunity to take a break. Now, make sure that you're not forever on a break here, but that you take a break and just settle your heart, settle your mind. I say this to couples that are fighting through a divorce. The uglier a divorce, the more you need a Sabbath. Quiet yourself. Be still for a little while. Be alone for a little while. There's no magic formula to this as to how much time you should take, but there is a magic truth here, and that is being alone and knowing how to be alone with yourself and feeling good about yourself alone is pretty stinking important. And giving yourself time to rehabilitate all alone can save your mental health. Rehabilitate, yes, with a mentor, but in that mentor, give that mentor the notion that, hey, I'm going to take a couple of days just to be alone, and trust me, I'm okay. So that Sabbath is important in your mental health. Well, as I said earlier, we close every episode of the No BS Bishop with two exercises, and the one is breathing. That's inspire. It's to breathe in, to have breath pushed into your lungs. In the creation story, we're told that God breathed life into Adam and Eve, into the breath and the nostrils of the first human. That when he breathed into them, they were alive. When that breath came in, life came in. So when you breathe, breathe in inspiration. On the count of three, I want you to take the deepest breath you can. One, two, three. Breathe in. Oh, hold it there. And exhale. There's a little physical illustration there of inspiration. The second exercise that we do here in the No BS Bishop, and this really has a lot to do with the status of your love and mental health and the status of your mental health and love, and that is find somebody, some trusted somebody, somewhere, somehow, that you can just look them in the eye, take a moment, slow yourself down, and be able to say with full authenticity and full intentionality, say the three most beautiful words in the English language. I love you. Looking somebody in the eye, slowing it down, have full meaning in your voice is magic. It's beautiful. It's healing for your mental state. I want you to hear me say in this broadcast, I love you. So now go out and do something beautiful in this rough and tumble world. Give this world something to smile about, to be inspired by. Give yourself something to be inspired by in this world, because you and you alone know the full intention of your heart. And if love is down in there, even if you're clumsy, love makes all things right. God bless you all. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. Now go out and do something beautiful. You know why? Because ugly has been done to death. Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.